Well, I give the band a hand. Turn the person next to you and just say, winter is almost over. Who's sad about winter ending? Oh, ushers. I'm looking forward to summer. Everyone say prophecy. This Tuesday night, so we're going to open it up to everyone. Just because I had a good chat with Fergus, and he's locked and loaded. And he said, how many? And I said, oh, you're just a few. And he said, how many do you want me to prophesy? I said, just a few. So he's in a really good space, and he's looking forward to it. And who's never had a prophecy over their life? Just raise your hand. Never had a prophecy. Just raise your hand. Give me a wave. Anyone? Never. Okay. Well, make sure you come and see me. We'll make sure you're some of the first to be prayed for. Sound good? So it's open to everyone. Look, bring whoever you want, and we're gonna have him here for a few hours. Midweek is good. We're just gonna roll into it. We're gonna open with some prayer, and then we're just gonna let him loose. Does that sound good? We have child minding. And last time he came, he was so specifically spot on, it was off the chart. So some of the best prophecy I've seen. And I've been around for a bit. Did I tell you about once? Did I tell you about I had a prophecy? I was sitting in a ministry meeting. We had this guy called Ed Trout. Yeah. Interesting name. And he was a prophetic guy. And he came to me and he pulled me out and he said, your wife's nesting. I don't know what that meant, but it was sort of, and then he went on and just said, look, you're going to have a child. And I argued with him. I said, no, we're not pregnant. And he said, yes. And I said, no, we're not. And everyone was laughing. This is when I was at Hillsong. And he said, well, I'm telling you, you are. Your wife is pregnant. And I said, no, I would know, right? And so I went home that night and Marianne told me she was pregnant with Madeline that very night. So I wasted my time arguing with God. Don't bother. So isn't that cool? Pretty out there. And it was funny because the whole crowd were laughing as we went back and forth, me and the prophetic guy going, I'm going, well, I'm sorry, you got it wrong, must be the person behind me. He didn't get it wrong, I did. It's exciting. It's exactly how it happened, didn't it, honey? Went home, she was there with my parents, and she told me, and I was like, what? And we had Maddie. Embarrassing. So I was up to the youth camp and I had a great time, and youth camps are amazing. So can I just do a big shout out to the whole team? Because I don't know everyone knows how much effort it takes to put a youth camp on, and those kids crawled home and they were comatosed for days, and they don't get much sleep. I've done youth camps. These guys did an amazing job. And where's Gareth here? I'm not sure. The Haineses? Sorry? Oh, he's on Kids Church. But he did the catering, and man, they were fed amazingly well. And they had some great nards, and Bubby's not here. She's in New Zealand at the moment, but a great job, the whole team. Well, I'm on to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Parenting. Turn to your neighbor next and go, just give him a big smile. What a good time to be talking about parents and children. So let me just start by praying. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its life. We thank you for its truth. God, we stand in a world where there are so many ideas. There are so many points of view. There are so many ways that are offered to us on how we should live our lives and how we should govern ourselves. And God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your wisdom is straight from heaven. You are the designer of life. You designed every single person in this room. And you know us intimately, and you know exactly how we should operate. And we thank you for the security that we have in your wisdom and in your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. All right, and all the parents said, amen. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Sound good? And you, fathers, all the fathers give me an amen. Okay? Convincing. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Everyone said amen. A big shout out to my boy. He is 10 today. I said I'd say happy birthday. He's probably upstairs, but 10. I got a 10-year-old boy. Isn't that exciting? Okay, small moment. Okay. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So first of all, who was a child? Now, there's no full definition of a biblical child, but a child is someone that's dependent upon you. That's the basic definition. So that can actually reach right into the late teens, believe it or not. If you've got kids that are hanging around at home, still raiding that fridge every day, still putting that paw out every day for some money or something, then they're considered in that bracket of children. And they need to realize that they need to obey their parents. There is a stage where you, as children, when mainly biblically, when you leave and you cleave to your wife, the two become one flesh, you're kind of outside of that realm of being told what to do by your parents every day. Amen? Isn't that good? That's a good thing, right? So it doesn't mean parents, and you understand by then that your children have independence and that your daughter is a wife or your son is a husband, and then there's other responsibilities on their lives, and you don't have all that authority that you had when they lived in your house. Amen? So for some of us parents, we need to realize that. Is that okay? So you can't just demand that they come over and do all those things that they used to do when they lived under your house. Amen? So Paul talks here about obeying your parents in the Lord. The key to this verse is in the Lord. That phrase has the weight and the authority of heaven behind it. So children that disobey parents are not just rebelling against their parents, they're actually rebelling against God. Ooh. That puts some weight behind it, doesn't it? Because that's what the Bible says. Children that disobey their parents are not just rebelling against their parents, but they're actually rebelling against God. Because it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You've got to understand that if you're a lover of God, if you're a young person in this place and you're under your parents' rule, if you're a lover of God, then you've got to realize when you step into disobedience, you're actually stepping not just against your parents, you're stepping against God. Now, I'm not talking about your parents making you do things that are ungodly, because there's a greater authority to that. Amen? And we're not talking about abuse situations. We're not talking about anything that's evil untoward. We're talking about when it comes to your definition of what you think should happen and their definition. If you step right outside of that, you're going to get yourself in trouble. That's just the way it is. God has put parents in your life, if you're a child in this place, as an authority figure. It is part of the way God structures things. It's a part of the way that God allows you to grow as a human being. Often teenagers go through an anti-authority stage. True? If you're a parent in this place and you went through that, raise your hand. All right? So we're not just talking us parents understand. There is and the sad thing about our culture is quite often that is encouraged. True? Whether it's music, whether it's peer groups at school, there's an anti-authority thing that is encouraged out there in the world. And we've got to understand that if you're a young person and you really want to stay close to God, then you've got to fight this. This is one of the greatest things that you could fight in your life, because there is inside a young person, there is a stage where you go through where you start to develop your own independence, which means you start to think that you have it all together. True? Most young people get to a stage where they maybe starting at about age 13, some as young as 12, all the way up to, I don't know, sometimes it can be right into the late 20s. Hopefully it can run out in their late teens, but they start to think that they know it all. Their parents don't know a great deal, but they know everything. And that started, and part of that is actually you as a young adult working out your independence. But you can work out your independence, which is actually taking on responsibility without becoming rebellious. Are you with me? Because rebellion is the thing that tries to grip children at that age, and it fights against the authority of the parents, where independence is more about a young person understanding responsibility. The definition of a maturity is someone that understands responsibility. And someone can be 45 years of age and still be immature. Are you with me? Because responsibility is something that you understand. You understand that there's a responsibility for your life, for your actions, for those around you, for your loved ones. That is what maturity truly is. But in a young person, they are coming through this stage of developing their own independence, and that is the doorway where the enemy will try to get in with rebellion. And rebellion literally comes from the pit of hell. It's what the devil started with. Are you with me? It actually stems from pride. When a young person's trying to develop their independence, they can do it through understanding responsibility, and they can do it while still obeying and honoring their parents. They can actually track through that season a godly way. Or there's a door that opens and there's a whole peer group out there in their school, and there's a whole music world out there and a movie world out there that encourages rebellion. True? That just tries to grab kids at that stage of independence, and your parents don't know, you know, if you're getting drunk, it's not going to hurt you. This is going to hurt you. Drugs ain't going to hurt you. Nothing's going to hurt you. You just should get involved in this world. And that's the spirit. It's the same spirit that comes from a pride that you think you know more than everyone else, which is exactly what the enemy, Satan, got involved in when he was in heaven and took one third of the angels with him. He actually started to believe his own, started to read his own mail, started to think he was it in a bit, and decided that he would separate himself from God because God didn't know as much as he did. Does that sound like rebellion in a child? That's how it works. So for a Christian teenager, your opportunity is to stand against this tide and be different. You know what? Rebellion's actually quite easy. It really isn't hard. It's on a lot of music you listen to. It's on TV. It's in the playground. It's in the peer group pressure that's around you to stand up and be godly and to be counted as a teenager going through this and obeying your parents and honoring your parents and respecting them and respecting your family and respecting yourself and respecting God. That actually takes a hell of a lot more courage than going with the tide. And I think for any young person that's in the room, if you really love God with all your heart and you are saved, then realize when God is talking about you obeying your parents, that you're actually taking that straight from God. Amen? It's actually something that God is asking you to do. It's something that God's should be putting on your heart, and it's something that you need to take to God. And if you're struggling with it, then go to God and ask him for the strength to live in that space. You do not obey your parents because they are perfect. Now, I know there's some parents in this room that are very close to perfect. We've got Jerry and Anne. Who else have we got? We've got quite a few here, really. I could keep going. Shelley, you've got... There's so many parents that are perfect. But God is not asking you to obey as a young person your parents because they are perfect. You're obeying your parents because God's asking you to. Is that right? I think when you put that in your heart, when you understand that that is the premise of your obedience, then it actually takes the sting out of actually obeying. Because if you're going to judge your parents for every action, they're still human beings. And one day, as you young people grow up and you become parents yourself, you actually realize it is quite tough to be perfect parents and to make perfect decisions and to never be angry and never do the wrong thing. But God is not looking to parents right here to be perfect. He's not talking to that. He's talking to you as an individual, as a young person, and asking you to bring obedience into your lifestyle because of God. The Word of God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word right means upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. You know, it's not really a suggestion in the Word of God. It's actually quite a strong request of children to obey their parents. Can I just toss back to some of the Old Testament? What about Exodus 21, verse 15? It says, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Is that mixing words? This is the Old Testament. Proverbs 30, verse 17. There it is. Look at that one. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. How are we going? Aren't we glad we're not living under the old covenant? But you've got to understand that this is the inference that God has on obedience with children and their parents. And you know what? Whatever God asks you to do is for your good. Are you with me? That's the take home from this. If you're a child, if you are rebelling against your parents, and I'm not talking about parents asking you to do completely ungodly things or like I said, involved in abuse or things like that, that's wrong. But I'm talking about when the parents are just asking you to do normal things and you're completely rebelling and disobedient, that you are actually putting yourself in a place of danger. The Bible puts disobeying your parents as one of the traits a person who is given over to their sin is. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 27. Up there, starting at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, weakness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. It's in the list. Right up there with the nasties of the nasties. So, do you think that obeying your parents is something that this Bible was strong about? Absolutely. If you want to grow a foundation, if you want your foundation to be established in God, then this is a key to it. And we can stand here as human beings and go, well, you know what, I know better than this. But this is the way God's designed us. God's designed us to allow ourselves to become under this authority. And you know what, as a young person, you know, I wasn't the best teenager at all. Your parents can actually just save you from a lot of pain. True? Isn't that true? That boy that's an idiot is an idiot that you're going to go out with. That girl that your parents go, look, she's just not right. She's just not you. She doesn't carry the same values. She's just doesn't love God. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Yeah, they're right. Are you with me? That place you go to on a Friday night, you know, honey, just please don't go there. This is the wrong people. It's the wrong intent. It's the wrong crowd. The guys there have got one thing on their mind, and if you go there, it's just the wrong place for you. No, I'll be fine. I'm protected. Yeah, really? Sometimes your parents have just got some wisdom. Amen? Sometimes as teenagers, when you're young and you tell your kids not to play on the road, they might listen to you. As they become teenagers and you tell them not to play in that nightclub and they don't listen to you. It's sad. Amen? Don't get involved in that thing. Don't take that thing. Don't puff that thing. Don't get involved in that. Stay away from it. Verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Are we okay in this place? How are we going? And all the children said, yeah. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. To honor is to value, is to fix value on something, to revere, to respect. You know, I don't think honor comes that easily in our culture because we've got a society that really wants us to free think, which is good, but sometimes the byproduct of all our free thinking is that we just don't honor authority. Amen? Quite often, you know, in a schoolyard, when it comes to teachers in a classroom, sometimes, I mean, we know we're in a culture, there's a lot of schools where kids honoring teachers is just a real challenge, especially in public schools. True? Honoring authority. What do you do when you see a policeman? And, you know, look, not everyone that has authority is doing it and using it well, but you still need to honor for honor's sake. Amen? This is what the Bible talks about, and it's the same with our parenting. Are your parents perfect? No. But should you honor? Yes. Because honoring your parents is for your sake. It's building a foundation in your life that frames your world for the rest of your world. If you can't honor your parents, it's going to be hard to honor your boss. It's going to be hard to honor your own spouse. It's going to be hard to breed honor into your family. Amen? It sets you up for your life. It sets you up. I know when you've work with someone and you give them honor, you get honor back. If you're a smart mouth and you dishonor someone and you dishonor them with your service by turning up late and doing the wrong thing and being slack, it doesn't work for your life. Amen? It's not something. God wants us to build this pattern into our lives, and he starts with us at a very young age by asking us to do it as we are children. Parents are parents, and God asks us to honor them for that sake, for the sake that they are your parents. Have you been to the movies? Who's been to the movies? I think there's an ad in the movies about turning your phone off. True? Someone's bowling and the phone rings. And then the guy goes, "It's your mother." And then there's a gap, and then he goes, "She raised you, bro." Really, that's what the Bible's saying. Your parents raised you. Honor them. They birthed you. They brought you into existence through this world. Amen? If you want a baseline for your honoring, that's your baseline. It's what God's asking you to do. Give them respect. They deserve it. Honor requires actions, not just thoughts. Give me a list. This is a list for the children. Is this all right? Little list. Honoring is doing what they ask. Take a deep breath. Looking over across there to, there's my daughter, daughters. doing what they ask. Honor is talking well of them. They're not the old man and the old lady. My oldies. That's not honoring. True? Come on. And it's not just calling them by their first name all the time. Like, my daughters are in the habit of calling me and Marianne by our first name. But they do that by a default, because they'll say at church and some places, they'll go, Mum, Dad. And we're just oblivious to it. And so Annalise in particular normally has to yell out at church, Andrew Harper. And I turn around. No, that's all right. But, you know, I think it's a slight disrespect if your children just call you by your first name. True? If you've worked that out and your kids can still honor you doing that, that's fine. But I like the word mum or dad. It actually carries some weight. True? Defines your relationship. If you've worked something out, that's fine. But I think it's a good thing. But my daughter, quite often I just hear, Andrew Harper. And there's my Annalise smiling at me. And she says, because I've said dad 12 times already. So I understand it. That's all right. Talking well of them, appreciating them, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, Mother's Day, Father's Day, we can honor our parents. Amen? Spending time with them, not just with your friends as you become a young adult, informing them. How many parents would just love to be told that they're coming home late? All the parents said? Just a text. I don't know, a carrier pigeon, whatever you can muster. Let them know. This is a big one. Honoring your parents is considering your own actions affect your family, not just yourself. Amen? You know, it's sad when kids just completely divorce their actions from their family and they think they can do whatever they want to do and it won't affect their parents. How many parents in this place? You know, whatever our kids do affects us. True? If you're a parent in this place, raise your hand. Kids need to see that. Whatever hurts you hurts us. Whatever goes wrong in your life, we feel it. That's just the way parents are. We want the best for our kids. What if your parents don't deserve honor and respect? To the best of your ability, you've got to honor them. The Bible doesn't say that you're honoring them because they deserve it. The Bible says that you're honoring them because it's what God wants you to do. Amen? And let me just pause. For us as parents, let's actually give our kids something to honor. Amen? The key is, it is something that you are doing for your good, not just for theirs. For a young person to understand that honoring is something that is going to bring some benefits to you. So Paul puts it this way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Honoring your father and mother is the first commandment. It comes out of the Ten Commandments. And Paul's reading from Deuteronomy 5:16, which says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you in the land with which your God is giving you. So let's look at the promises of God. The first one is, God promises that dishonoring our parents will lead to our demise. It'll lead to rebellion. Number two, God promises that dishonoring your parents will lead to earthly death, an early earthly death. Is that okay? These are God's promises. Number three, so if you obey your parents, it's going to lead to a long life and it's going to set your life up. And finally, it won't go well for you is the third promise. The word well means to prosper, to be well off. Are you with me? So what you're sowing into your life by the simple fact of honoring your parents, you are sowing into your life a promise that God says that will allow your life to go well, to prosper. And do you know what? I think honor is something that's attached to wealth. Are you with me? When someone can honor their workplace, when someone is diligent and they honor their bosses, they honor the field that God's given them, they honor the task of doing things well, when they've got that spirit on them, it attracts favor. Are you with me? You give me someone that honors what they're doing, they turn up on time, they do the job well, they've been taught as a young person all through their life because they've honored their parents, they've been taught that at home. You give me someone like that, they are fantastic to work with. Amen? You get someone who comes in, you give them an opportunity, and you come over and they sleep on the desk or they're in their Facebook all day, or they turn up 40 minutes late every morning and you're just chasing them down. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Are you hearing? Then the reputation goes out. You know what? That person ain't worth it. They're not worth the hassle. They don't respect the opportunities that they've been given. Are you with me? Whatever God asks us to do, even as a young person, there is a benefit to our lives. God's not asking you just to honor your parents because he wants just to feather their nest. He's asking you to honor your parents because he's building a foundation into your life that allows you to be the person that God's called you to be. Amen? So if you believe and respect the word of God, honoring our parents is good for us. Does honoring parents apply to adult parents? Yes, it does. Let me talk to every parent in the room who has parents that are alive. Maybe you're not in a place where you've got to obey your parents, but honoring is not age-based. Honoring goes right the way through. Are you with me? We've got to honor our parents. You've got elderly, aging parents. You've got to honor them. You've actually got to be involved. And I love this incident in Mark chapter 7, verse 10, where Jesus actually speaks into this. Because what had happened is the Pharisees, the Bible had taught honor. That every person had to honor their parents, no matter whether they were young or your aging parents, you had to honor them. But the Pharisees of the time had somehow convinced their followers to give their finance to them and to their synagogue instead of honoring their parents and looking after their parents. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says in Mark chapter 7 verse 10, he says, "For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death." And he's speaking to the Pharisees, verse 11, he says, "But you say, it is a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is koban." Koban is the gift given to God. So the Pharisees have said to all these parents, don't give it to your elderly parents. They don't give it. Give it to us, the synagogue, the church. Give it to us instead. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. Are you with me? What Jesus was literally saying is, hold on. Didn't you start pouring all this money in? And, you know, he's having a go at the Pharisees, but he's talking to adult children and telling them that they need to honor their parents, look after them. If your mum or your dad are struggling and you're fat and rich and doing well, guess what? That's not honoring. Are you with me? It's not how God has set it up to be. God wants us to honor our parents all the days of their lives. And last, verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Are you still with me? Take a deep breath. Parenting was a little different in the time of this text, and the culture was different. A father in this day and age, in the biblical times, a father had extreme power. Extreme power. And by and large, fathers had life and death power in their households. It wasn't biblical or it wasn't the way God wanted it, but that's the way it was. A father in this day and age, to the crowd that Paul was talking to Ephesus, to the majority of the people that were in the room, he was talking to them. A father could kick anyone out of his household he wanted to. He could just kick them out. A father had the authority just to go to any one of their children, you name it, and just go, get out of my house, leave, and never come back. A father also, in this culture, had the right to sell his children into slavery. That's pretty harsh, right? So if a child was just being rebellious or what have you, or for whatever reason, it could be just for monetary gain. It could be, I've got 12 kids and I need a new camel, and I'm just going to sell one of my kids to get myself a new camel. And that's the way it was. And there was no kickback from society that was accepted. That's just the way it was. It was as harsh as this. In some customs, this is quite normal for this time. When a wife had a child, the wife would come and place the child at the father's feet. And if the father picked up that child was accepted into the home. If that child was left, he might have, back in those days, a male child had more value than a female just because of work and all sorts of things. A father could actually see it's a girl or what have you, and he could just walk away. If he did that, that whole household had to turn its back on that child. And in a lot of cases, that child, it was a common thing. They were put into a field, just discarded into a field, and they were actually... In that day and age, there were slave traders that used to go out at night looking for children put in fields. And they would take them as slaves, or they would be actually killed by wild animals. Pretty full on. So you've got the Apostle Paul. He's in a church like this. He's writing a letter to a church like this. And I'd say the majority of the crowd are in a culture like that. And what the Apostle Paul was saying to this crowd was revolutionary. Are you hearing me? The Word of God was cutting against a culture that was really unfair and was really evil. And he was bringing about the grace of God. He was restoring order. So this was revolutionary. And he says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The actual role of a father back in those days, that's why he's aiming it at fathers. The actual number one role of a father was to instill fear into the child. That would be like, if you went to a parenting seminar back in this time, it would be how to make sure that your kids were afraid of you just by the words that you spoke. Paul was cutting across that. He was talking about not provoking. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That word provoke, it means repeated pattern of behavior that builds up into a deep-seated resentment. Now let me bring it into today's language. This is the top five behaviors that parents can cause deep-seated resentment in your children. Can I give you the top five? Do you want to hear this? They're not listed from one to five in importance. It's just five of them. First one is favoritism. You start picking out favorites in your family, you're going to start to do something in the other kids. Are you with me? It's just the way it is. Number two, identity through achievement. You want to build a deep-seated resentment in your children? Then put all their identity into what they do. And whether it's schoolwork, sport, whatever. If they don't achieve, they don't get anything from you, then you're going to build a deep-seated resentment. Are you with me? Number three, always pointing out your children's faults. Some parents just think it's just their role. My role is to tell my children all the things they're doing wrong. You want to build a resentment? Make that the number one thing you do. Number four, public humiliation. You know, I've seen some parents just rip into their kids in the front of everyone. You know what? No one likes public humiliation, do they? Do they? Sometimes there's a need for it out of pure danger. But 9 times out of 10, if you pull your child into a quiet place and then bring a stern word, but you start screaming and yelling in front of everyone, it doesn't actually have the desired effect. All they do is they feel the humiliation of being treated that way. And quite often don't even hear what you're trying to tell them to do. Number 5, overprotective. You know that one that won't let them do absolutely anything for fear of something going wrong. Your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up the training and admonition of the Lord. The second key word to this is, there's 2 key words. The word training means educational training or implication, which means disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, and nurture. The Bible is into chasing, is into correcting. You need to work out what your style is, but your kids do need correcting. God corrects us. Hebrews 12:6, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his sons. Amen? The greatest key to discipline is know your children. I've got different kids. I could yell at one kid and that'll be enough for them. I could yell at one of my other children and it just goes over their head. Are you with me? Some you can put into time out in a dark room by themselves and they just can't stand it. Some you can put them time out into a dark room by themselves and they just love it. It's not discipline. It's fantastic. They're the brooding type. They're the ones that need to sit in front of you and not sulk and stay in the room with you. And I don't care. You're not going to sulk. You just be quiet. You just be good. You be disciplined. And that's hard. You be happy. You get yourself happy. You put that child, you put them into a dark room by themselves, get to your room, they're like, yes. Headphones go on. They love it. The sanguine, it's like, no, not the room, not by myself. It's going to kill me. I want to be where the party is. Come to discipline, just know your children, amen? Training is a disciplinary action, that's what it is. And the last key word, and I'll finish here. Fathers, do not provoke your children or parents to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Admonition is a combination of warning and exhortation. You know, I grew up in a time where quite often in the church, we sat in church and all they did was tell us as children what we should not do. But they didn't explain to us the vision that God has for our lives and what our lives could be if we allowed God in every aspect of our life. Amen? They didn't teach us about Jeremiah 29:11. For he knows the thoughts and plans, not of evil for you, but for a future and a hope. Amen? And that's why I think you've got to, if you're going to warn your kids about life, and you know the Ten Commandments are going to make sure they know it all, but teach them about the love of God. Teach them about the vision that God has. Teach them about that they are fearfully and wonderfully made and God's created a purpose for their life. Amen? And if they allow their lives to be framed by God's commandments and principles, that they can be released into amazing things. Amen? That's why I love youth group. That's why I love kids church, because right up there, we're not disciplining your kids right now. We might be. Some of your kids need it. We might be yelling at them. Quite often we've got to give them lollies or something just to get them motivated. But we're teaching them about the Word of God and what the Word of God can do. And when the kids come here on a Friday night, it's not all about yelling and screaming in a campus. Yeah, our leaders were up to 3 a.m. making sure that your kids were back in their cabins, yes. But most of the time we were telling them and having words over them and releasing God over their lives and giving them a vision and telling them that God's for them, amen? Can I just say, when it comes to honoring as parents, when it comes to that word instruction, actually is about you doing something. It's not about what comes out of your mouth. Kids will honor and kids will learn of what you do more than what you say. If you honor the Word of God, you love the Word of God, if you honor church and the house of God, then your kids are going to be raised and they're going to be instructed in that way. But if you say, kids, you know, you've got to honor the Word of God and you've got to honor church and honor what God's involved in, and you can't get yourself here, you don't get your kids here, you don't get your kids to youth, you don't go anywhere like that, you just don't honor it yourself, then they get to a stage one day when think, well, you know, why don't they honor God? Why don't they want to be at youth group? Why don't they want to be around godly kids? We've got to build it into our lives, amen? Give your kids something to honor, amen? Why don't we stand to our feet in this place? Everyone take a deep breath.